Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Paris is going to ban electric scooter rentals from tomorrow, and they'll be the first European city to take this action. This is following a referendum earlier this year when almost 90% of voters chose to ban them. Now, although legislation governing the use of e-scooters is yet to be signed into law in Ireland, city and county councils have already entered into talks with private e-scooter companies discussing how shared schemes might be introduced locally. And we'll get the Irish view on this in a few minutes. But first of all, Jim Bitterman is CNN's senior European correspondent based in Paris and joins us now. So, Jim, can we go back to that referendum with the extraordinary result? 90% of people favoured to ban the rental of these e-scooters, but not all Parisians used their vote, did they?
Exactly. And it wasn't a very official vote. It was basically an online vote, and only about 7.5% of the Parisians actually voted. So it may not have been a very favorable for the scooter companies, but I must say that people are very, I would say, passionate about this issue. Even some of the people who use the scooters are against them, simply because they're misused so much. I mean, I'm coming at this with a little bias because they're like mosquitoes. You can't swat them enough. I mean, they are all over the place, and they are left in piles in front of apartment doors in the morning. And, they ride on the it's really the users that are the problem, because you'll get a lot of out-of-town visitors, but you'll also even have some natives who don't respect the rules, who ride them too quickly, who ride with one and maybe even two passengers on board their scooters. I've seen fathers taking their children. It's like totally dangerous. And then ride up on the sidewalks, and there's been collisions and several fatalities with pedestrians being hit by these scooters as they're walking along and unsuspectingly hit from behind or something like that.
So, Jim, I take it you don't use these scooters yourself, do you?
No, I do not. And I just think they're awfully dangerous. One of the things I should say, I'm an absolutely confirmed walker. I go all over Paris. I'm a pedestrian and fanatic pedestrian at that. I hate anybody that violates the pedestrian crosswalks and that sort of thing. And these scooters, they just don't respect the law. It should be said that the people who use them aren't really using them because they use cars normally, or they would use cars if they didn't have scooters. That's not really what it is. These are people who probably would have used bicycles. And frankly, it's probably better exercise if they'd get off the scooters and walk rather than riding the scooter and endangering themselves and other people.
Well, from tomorrow then, these rental companies will have to get out of the city, will they?
Exactly. They're not going to be the end of scooters, because there are still 700,000 privately owned scooters in France, and they're still going to be allowed. But the companies that have these rental schemes, which are very cheap, basically you pay €1 to as a subscription fee, and then it's about 25 euro cents for every minute beyond that you're using the scooter. Well, that time thing, because the clock is running, that encourages people to run through red lights. It encourages people to leave them sitting wherever they stop because they want to stop the clock. And just in a number of ways, it encourages people negatively to be hazardous with these things.
Okay, now we're going to be talking about what might happen here in Ireland. And as I said, councils are talking here to some of the private rental companies who have these e-scooters. What lessons do you think we need to learn from the experience where you are in Paris?
Well, you can take a look at the history here. Basically, it came in 2018 with the private scooter companies were allowed to come in with the scooters. And right away, there were dozens of companies that wanted to be a part of these schemes and wanted to put scooters on the streets. It got to be particularly crowded and awful, and there were a lot of hazards from the scooters, but also a lot of just mayhem from them. So the government of Paris, the city government, decided that they were going to try to restrict them somehow. So they came along and they had speed restrictions put in. They tried to restrict the number of companies. They limited the number of companies to three companies, and they limited those companies to 5,000 scooters each. So there were meant there were 15,000 available scooters on the streets of Paris. None of this seemed to resolve the problem to the liking of Parisians, as that survey might indicate. When things were said and done, they just decided to ban them entirely. So that was, of course, from 2018 to 2023, rather. There are, in fact, 5 years of experience. I would say study the experience in Paris, see if that's the kind of thing you want, and try to maybe learn some lessons from it.
Jim, thank you very much. Jim Bitterman there, CNN's senior European correspondent based in Paris. And you will not see Jim on an e-scooter in Paris anytime soon. In studio with me is Janet Horner, Green Party councillor for Dublin's North Inner City, listening to all of that. Does that make you worried about doing the same here?
I think for Dublin, we definitely do need to have a conversation about whether this is a shared e-scooter scheme is one that we want. I think for us, we already have problems with e-scooters in the city. Certainly, I hear a lot of complaints about people finding them a nuisance on the footpaths, going too fast, feeling that they're quite dangerous in different ways. And I think that's because at the moment, they're only privately owned ones. So I don't think you can resolve the concerns people have with e-scooters simply by not having a shared scheme. Arguably, a shared scheme, you can regulate the conditions of these scooters a bit better. You can ensure they meet certain safety standards. Mm-hmm. You can regulate the speed, for example.
Not according to the Parisian experience, where they were dumped all over the place, according to Jim.
And I think that one of the advantages that Dublin has at this point is that we have a lot of opportunity to learn from other cities. So cities like Paris, there's a lot of other cities across Europe. We're in the ground floor. As soon as e-scooters started coming on the scene, they brought them in and regulated them as within the cities. We haven't done that. We've never had a shared scheme up to this point. So we have a lot of lessons that we can learn from other cities. Anybody who has spent time in Paris, Brussels particularly comes up constantly as an example, will tell you about how frustrating it is to be stepping over scooters constantly on the footpath. So if we were to do this in Dublin, which is still a conversation and a decision that we have to make, one of the conditions that we would universally agree on that we have to have is that they would not be allowed to be parked in footpaths, and penalties would have to be quite high when they were.
One of the things that Jim said was that this isn't taking people out of cars. These are people who would be walking or perhaps using public transport. So why would we bother if that's the case?
And I would quite agree with that. I think that the evidence isn't particularly strong. So that, you know, the reason to do it is that it's so convenient. At the moment, to get across the city by bus, and if you're taking public transport, it can take anything from 20 minutes to 40 minutes to more, potentially, depending on traffic, depending on how the bus runs, how many people are getting on and off, etc. With a scooter, for example, you can reliably leave your house at 8:51, knowing that you are going to be in at the front door of your office at 9 a.m. Mm. And that's a luxury that you have when you've got a vehicle.
But we have the bike scheme fulfilling that need, don't we?
And I think there's certain people, we will often talk about some people, cycling is just not attractive to them for various reasons, and scooting may attract a slightly different cohort. Having said that, so I'm giving you the arguments why there is a reason for them. But again, you know, the evidence has not been so strong in other cities that that is how it will work.
Okay.
It's often showing that people are simply leaving the bike at home in order to scoot because although they're forfeiting exercise, they're maybe not arriving in work as sweaty, for example.
Okay, so if we look at examples like Paris and we're, as you say, we try and learn the lessons, what if the lesson is don't do it, don't have them? How would you feel about that?
Personally, I would be open to that. I'm very keen in Dublin that we are looking at alternatives to get people out of cars, to reduce our emissions, to reduce our congestion so the city can move in a way that it just isn't at the moment. I think the stronger evidence is there for obviously increasing public transport, obviously, and then e-bikes I think can be a massive game changer because they really help people with mobility issues in a way that e-scooters don't always. So they can hit a demographic of older people and other demographics that scooters are just not going to be attractive to. However, like, while I'm not a diehard scooter advocate, but I do think, you know, when you have people who are doing shift work, who are doing unsociable hours, who the bus service just isn't servicing, is it useful to have a scooting option for them there? I think there can be, there is an argument made that the scooters will still have some function to play, but I don't think they will be the strongest card in our deck when we are looking at reducing emissions.
Janet, thank you very much for coming in. Janet Horner there, Green Party Councillor for Dublin's North Inner City.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.